days by Elisha in 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. It's really verse 16, but for context, we would like to hear from verse 14 through 16. It's a very important passage. And from one or two of the points that will be looked at tonight, we hope that you will find it encouraging and probably challenging and enlightening. That is 2 Kings chapter 6. We want verse 14 through 17.
Therefore, sent ye thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about.
Sorry, brother, my father, start again. You're reading the right passage. Just start again.
Therefore, sent ye thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about.
And this, the large army here that the verse 14 is speaking about is the Syrian army besieging Samaria, I think.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots.
That is, the man of God here is God's giant Elisha. It seems his servant or his assistant got up before he did and saw that the city was surrounded, completely besieged, with the Syrian. Read on.
And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?
Read on, brother.
And he answered, Fear not. For they that
now,
be
now,
with us.
Fear not is one of the often used phrase in the Bible. So many times those two words have been echoed by angel, by God, by prophet, to encourage God's children not to melt away in fear and faithlessness. It is also good for us to be mindful. God wants to encourage us, whatever we face, to fear not, because God is on our side. Read on.
Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
You know, it's just wonderful to imagine the calmness of Elisha. The city in which he lived, remember, these prophets had their circuits. They would reside in particular city, but they would travel from where they reside to various places where God called upon them to go preach, go warn, and whatever else. But just imagine, the city in which you live is besieged by the enemy. Now, it's not people who are coming to put you in jail. They are coming to kill you, cut you to pieces. And here Elijah is telling his assistant, don't be afraid. As large as army as you see the Syrian have that surround the city, we have a larger army. That was true then, and it is true now. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Read on.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.
Notice, it's not God help me, Elisha. I open my eyes that I... No. Elisha was well assured that his protectors, his God's men, God's innumerable number of angels were there. He wanted his assistance to get some of this assurance from the number of God's holy angel that were ready to fight for them. Read on.
And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Now, it's not just chariots. It's not just chariots, it's chariot of fire. No army on earth ever have such kind of chariot. Read on.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha.
Read on.
And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek.
Is the Syrian soldiers, you know. were at the mercy of Elisha. Elisha first blind them, asked God to blind them. That sounds like a Rasta man. God blind them. And then, when the blind and seeking path to where they need to go, Elijah said, you are going the wrong way. Come, let me lead you. They don't realize that the very man who were permitted to lead them is the man who called on blindness on them. What a mighty God we serve. The truth stated in verse 16 that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. It was not so only in the time of Elisha. It is so now. Sometimes we permit our wings to go down. Our courageous heart is made to shrink because we look on a crowd here or there and ask what happened. Lot of times, because we are seeing only through the physical eyes, there are much more things God would like us to see through the eyes of faith. A lot of times we are hindered because of our faith that needs to grow. Let us examine some of the ways those on God's side that were with Elisha, ways that they were more than the host of the Syrian army. One, it's about 4 or 5 points. I may probably deal with 3 tonight. One of the ways in which those who were with Elisha and on God's side were more than those in the Syrian army, one of the ways there were more is in numbers. Did you say number, Brother Mitchell? Brother Mitchell, it seems you didn't read about the number of the Syrian army in those verses in chapter 6. Yes, I read it. And I'm here tonight to tell you, even with the great number of soldiers that the Syrian army had, those who were with Elijah, those who were on God's side, were more in numbers than those who were the foes or the enemies of God. Whenever you or I or any person confine our attention only on what we see with our physical eyes in this world, when we do that, just what we see through this biological eyes in the world, when we focus simply on that and rest our faith simply on that, then it is easy for us to think that the agents of evil and wrong are more in numbers than the agents of good. But when we learn to see things through God's word, what he teaches, what he says, what he has done with his various servants down through the ages, when we look on these through the eyes of faith, then we can say what Elisha said. And we can not only say it, we can believe it. That the agents of good, the agents of what is right, are always more than the agents of evil. Even though our physical eyes may give us a different impression. Look. Well, verse 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. The assistant to Elijah got a glimpse of what Elijah already knew. He saw the old hills packed with angels and with chariots of fire. The armies of the Syrian did not see that because God blinded their eyes to that. And even Elisha's servant did not see that. There's a lot of things that you and I cannot see through the mere biological eyes. Look also at the passage of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion.
And that is, when you or I become a Christian, when any man become a Christian, You come to great privileges and blessing, but you also come to a great company. Listen, when you become a Christian, and we should challenge, when we are teaching people, we should, whenever we remember, remind them that, look here, when you accept Jesus Christ and have your sins removed, becoming a part of his body, his church, there is more to it. What we come to, brother?
But you are come unto Mount Zion.
You come to Mount Zion.
And unto the city of the living
you
God.
You come to the city of the living God.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
You come to the heavenly Jerusalem.
And to an innumerable company of angels.
Innumerable means you can't count it. You can't count it. Innumerable company of angels. So never think that evil outnumber good. It appears so sometimes for us. But not only that passage, look at the passage of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
Now, the numbers of them, and that is the angel, you know, they were what, brother?
10,000 times 10,000.
Wait, take time with me. That is a million. And
thousands of thousands.
And thousands of thousands. So I'm still on the point that the first area, and Elisha well knew at least what we're reading here, that the numbers of angels who had sort of unlimited power, they are wiser than man, they have more power than man, more knowledge, more wisdom than man, they outnumbered the ungodly or the evil angel. Not only that, another way to look on it is to look on the malfunction in nature. Have you ever noticed that part of nature out there that spoil, that banana that may shoot six hands, but few of the fingers on one hand didn't come out so right. That orange tree that bear quite a few hundred, but few didn't come out right. Those few that didn't come out right are what I refer to as the malfunction. You know what is noticed? They are always fewer. The malfunctions are always fewer than those who come out normal. And God might be teaching us something there in nature, that the orderly, symmetrically form things outnumber those who did not come out so orderly and so symmetrically. In the divine universe, in the world that the Almighty God made, evil is the exception Good is the rule. I want you to turn over that in your mind. Evil in this world that God has made. Evil was not permitted to be the normal eternal existence of things. Evil is the exception. Good is the rule. Evil exists as a contingency. That is, evil might be or might not be, but it is not so with good. Good must be because God is good. When evil is no more to affect anybody, good will be here everlastingly because God is everlasting. But Satan will not have the everlasting chance to turn us into evil and to have us doing his bid. He has only a limited time, and that tells me that evil is not permanent. Good, virtue is permanent. At the end of the day, it is God's rule that's going to stand. And Satan's rule will be brought under control. So that is one. That is, those who were with Elijah, those who were on God's side, they were more in numbers. Two, we are looking on, remember what we are looking on. The ways in which what Elijah said, that is, they that be with us are more than they that are be with them. We are looking on ways in which they are, and the first point we look at is that they were so in numbers. But secondly, those on God's side and that were with Elijah were more in the instrumentality that they wield. I'm going to explain that. The agents of evil are not only fewer in numbers, but they are inferior in their weapon or their armor. Yeah. Evildoers, be it satanic force or human being, what they use as their weapon to accomplish their ends, their purpose, that which Satan used to accomplish his purpose, his weapon, that is Satan's weapon, are inferior to the weapon or the armor of the children of God. Amen. Falsehood is one of the weapons that Satan and his agent use. Hate is one of the weapons that Satan or his agent use. Deception is one of the weapons. In fact, Satan is all about deception. And A lot of people use deception. For example, a lot of the financial problem that we are hearing about in society, almost every week, in fact, I could almost say twice a week, you get up, you hear of some bank, we're employing the bank, gone with million. I mean, this is it becomes so regular that you know, if my grandmother was alive and I have a few dollars, I'll take it to her to put under her mattress. That's right, because you wonder where your money is saved. All this is deception. It's deception. That's the weapon that Satan and his agents use. Not only deception, selfishness. Selfishness creates a lot of the problem where a person thinks only of what he or she wants. They don't think of the other person's welfare or the other person's right. So yes, the armor, the weapon of evil, falsehood, hate, deception, selfishness, wrong, these are the weapon of evil. But these weapons of Satan and those who yield to him, these weapons are inferior to the weapon that those who follow Jesus Christ use. Our weapon is truth. You know, Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Our weapon is not only truth, it is love. The weapon of the children of God, those who follow God, is that which is right. The weapon is honesty. Our weapon is unselfishness. Did I say love? Yes, I said it. Have you ever wondered and think about among the difference between hate and love? Have you ever noticed that love tends to build? Its very nature. Hate tend to destroy, mash up. That's it. Some of the most awesome creation of man, things that man have built, come out of love. I have never seen the Taj Mahal in India. The first person who impressed me with it was my philosophy professor, Dr. Jones. I have one or two books in the office that were given to me by him. And the Taj Mahal was built in memory of this Shah Jahan, who loved this wife of his so much that when she died, he built it as a memorial to her. It is probably the prime attraction in India. In other words, more people travel to India to see the Taj Mahal than anything else that they go there for. The professor who taught me in college have been there to see it. What is the point? It's love. Love does things like that. Wait, hate doesn't do things like that. When Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to me. That's love. The Almighty God is reaching out to humanity with love, not with hate, because God knows that hate is a weak weapon. So, we are more in the instrument or the instrumentality that we wield. That those that were with Elisha will. And third, I may end with this one. There's one or two more points, but I may end with this. Just a few more points on number two about the instrumentality. The history of the world in which you and I live, gives multiple instances of one man with truth. We are talking about, you know, the instrumentality of truth, love, unselfishness, considerateness, honesty. These are the instrument that those who are on God's side use as against the instrument that those on Satan's side are permit Satan to use them, use hate, selfishness, falsehood, deception, you know. So as I've said, the history of the world gives multiple instances of one man with truth and right on his side who was able to subdue countries, not just one, countries that were under the siege of falsehood and wrong. One man. Many single person in history, because they were armed with truth and what is right. They were able to overthrow falsehood and wrong. The last point we deal with, that they that are with us, as Elisha said, is more than they that are with them, is that men and women who are truly on God's side, as Elisha was, they are more, yes, they are more in their invincible determination because of the strength of purpose by which or under which they act. Yes, I'll be giving further explanation to what I've just said to make sure we fully understand. So the third point that I'm on, by which they are more, those who were with Elisha and even those today that are on God's side are more than they that are on the side of wrong, they are more in their invincible determination. And that is because of the strength of purpose by which or under which they act. Let me further explain that. May I just throw this out? Have you ever noticed in the Bible, and it's good to notice this and to be mindful, where have you read in the Bible, Old and New Testament, where an angel of God, ever run from an evil angel. If you can find a passage, if you don't find it tonight, find one and show me where. I'm talking about the heavenly host, because that tells us something. We are a true angel of God. Had to pick up his foot or his wing and run or fly from an evil angel. What we have seen throughout the New Testament, it is the evil angel who are always on the run. Always, that's what you see. Not the opposite. Because those who are on the right are more than those who are on the wrong. So you don't ever find a true angel of God, ministering spirit, running away from an evil angel. It's always the opposite. A man with a weak purpose will not accomplish much. However great that person's advantages may be, the agents of evil can have no invincible purpose. Why? Let me explain this first. It is And it's important that you be mindful of this. Our conscience helps to determine how determined we are in any undertaking or in any conflict. Our conscience. I'm just dropping this by as brother. Very important. You will not be able to stand up to a man or woman when both of you are in some conflict and his or her conscience tell him or her that I'm right. That person is convinced from every quarters, every direction that he's right. But you are wavering in whether you're right or not. You will not be able to stand up to that person. You see, brothers and sisters, it is our conscience that gives us the courage and make us invincible in undertaking. When our conscience don't give us that okay and that support, we have wobbling knee. But when the conscience sanctions you, it make you strong and you are willing to even die for your cause. That was the difference between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Nebuchadnezzar and some of those old guys there. The agents of evil can have no invincible purpose in that their conscience, whose conscience give them invincibility? Yes, our conscience is that which give us invincibility. Our conscience have to tell us you are right. Hold on to your right. But the doers of evil don't have a conscience to tell them that. Their conscience is not on their side. So they are fickle, they are fearful, they are timid. Didn't I hear somewhere God says in his word, the wicked flee when no man are run after him? That's it. The wicked flee when nobody are run him down. So this is why those that are on God's side are more invincible in their determination because of the strength of purpose by which they act. When we believe strongly and see strongly, clearly that I am right in this, that is what gives us invincibility. So right will always be invincible. Wrong will always have fickleness, fearfulness, and timidity. There is yet one more, but we will not look at that probably another time. One or two more ways in which we are more than they that do evil in in the authority by which we act. It would take me some time to elaborate on that, so we are going to let that stay. But in fact, brothers and sisters, God's people, the men and women who cast their lot on God's side, we are in fact more than they that are on the devil's side. Always. Not only in the time of Elisha, but it has ever been so and will ever be so. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God.